Well, hey, everybody. Welcome to another edition of the Ascending Life Podcast. I'm Pastor Josh Blevins at Grace Calvary Chapel here in St. Joseph, Missouri, in the heart of the Midwest, and I'm excited to be with you. A quick note, if you guys are blessed or encouraged by any of these podcasts, I'd love for you to just give it a like or subscribe to the podcast on iTunes. Again, the heart of this is just we want to get God's word out. We want to be an encouragement to as many people as we can to follow Jesus, and that's why we're here. Today, I'm really excited about just a special conversation that I get to have with a great friend of mine. It's been an issue on my heart. And on top of that, what really prompted me towards this is here in the Midwest, we recently have adopted the name Calvary Chapel into our church. It's been a Calvary Chapel for a while. I've been a Calvary Chapel pastor for a while. But we've been having a lot of people ask us, well, what is Calvary Chapel and why are we a Calvary Chapel? And I thought, you know, there is a good opportunity here for us to define and talk about this beautiful work that God has started so many years ago and is continuing in his own unique way, called Calvary Chapel, this wonderful family and fellowship of churches. And with that, I have a special friend, a guest that I consider one of the leading Calvary Chapel pastors in the movement today. He's a good friend. We've done a lot of ministry together over the years. Pastor Garrett Bueller pastors the church, Vision City Church in Irvine, California, and has been going strong there for 8 years, and I'm happy to have him with us today. So Garrett, welcome, and thanks for joining us.
Josh, thank you so much for having me. And I was just listening to your introduction and I thought there's probably not a better guy than you to introduce the Midwest for those that don't know about Calvary Chapel to Calvary Chapel. So I'm thrilled to be with you today. Thanks for having me on the show.
Yeah. So tell us just briefly a little bit about that work that God called you to at this season of time in Vision City Church and just a little bit of a recap of what's going on.
Yeah, well, we, as you mentioned, we're almost 8 years old, and we started in January 2014, and really our desire was to continue what I had learned at Calvary Chapel of Costa Mesa. I grew up at that church. I grew up under my pastor, Chuck Smith, and was able to not only grow up there and be taught the Bible, but I eventually served there for a little over 9 years and saw firsthand what it meant to be a Calvary Chapel pastor. And I felt so strongly about how I identified with the movement of Calvary Chapel, just the philosophy of ministry, the emphasis on teaching the Word of God, which I know we'll talk about later, that of all the different movements that I could have been a part of or could have aligned myself with, Calvary Chapel was in my DNA. And I just loved the emphasis on simply teaching the Word of God simply. And so we planted a church on that foundation of teach the word of God and love people and reach out with the gospel. And as a matter of fact, our mission statement is to teach the word of God, to equip the saints, and to preach the gospel. And so far, it's been quite the journey. And we are seeing just the Lord's faithfulness, and it's been a real blessing. So the church is going great and excited to see what happens in the future.
That's awesome. And, you know, as you're talking about the training you received, the philosophy and how you connected with it, I remember growing up in a Free Methodist church. It wasn't a bad church. It was an evangelical church. And I remember as a kid, you know, learning all the different memory verses and going through all the different church programs and hearing a lot of topical sermons from Sunday to Sunday. And when we first started as a family, I was in high school going to Calvary Chapel in Chino Hills. I remember as a high schooler sitting in this service and the pastor, you know, Pastor Jack, he opened the Bible, he read the verses, and all of a sudden he explained it in a way that the Holy Spirit was moving tangibly in this room that for the first time, you know, in my Christian life, my heart and my mind just came alive to the active, living, powerful Word of God speaking to me. And I think that at that moment, I connected with saying, you know, there's something powerful about this teaching of the Bible, believing that there's power in the Word and that the power of the Holy Spirit is bringing life to those words for us today. That I think that was a key element that really tied me to Calvary Chapel early on. When you think about the importance of of what it means in Calvary Chapel. As Chuck, you know, wrote about, as he constantly reminded us about, as young pastors, simply teach the word simply. Why is there so much power in that? And what is so important for us to hold fast to that, especially in this day and age?
Yeah, that's a great question. And, you know, in the scriptures, it tells us that the word of God endures forever. And often in churches, I think, because we see such an increase in the consumer mentality of life in general, it's filtered even into church itself, where, you know, what do you have to offer me? I need to fill something, or you need to provide something for me. That, you know, a lot of times pastors can fall into a trap of trying to be a hype man, like at a concert, or try to rile the crowd up somehow. And then, you know, when those individuals that attend that church, you know, go through a difficulty, or they're experiencing struggles or trials or whatever it may be, or they need wisdom or direction, and they go to draw on that emotional experience, it's not there. And because chances are that experience or that high ended after, you know, lunch on Sunday. But the Bible tells us that the word of God endures forever. And I think the thing with all the crazy, and then just call it for what it is, like with all the crazy that is in the world, the word of God gives stability. The word of God tells us that his word is a lamp unto our feet, a light unto our path. Like we always know where we stand. We always know what is right. We always know what is wrong. And so I think it's become even more so incumbent upon pastors, especially within the Calvary Chapel movement, to hold the line of sound biblical teaching, because in it is life. In it, the people can own their own relationship with the Lord, not just do time, you know, appease their conscience on Sunday. You know, I went to church, which is all also really, I'd say, like a dead experience with God. But when you can instill in someone the desire to know the Lord and to study the word of God and to stand on their own two spiritual feet, then there's nothing comparable to that. And so I think that is one of the things that's unique about Calvary, is the simple teaching of the word of God fueled by the Holy Spirit, which touches the individual's life.
That's an amazing way to put it. I've often thought about it personally, as, you know, do I want to give someone something that they remember for the afternoon, or something that impacts them for eternity? And the word of God is the only thing that can, as you said, is a stabilizing force that can bring clarity to the issues around us, and that can really prepare us not only for life with God on earth, but for life forever with him. And would you agree with me that it seems as though the Bible's words are coming to pass right before us, in the sense that Paul said, you know, in the last days, deceivers will grow worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived, unable to come to the knowledge of the truth. I mean, to me, that speaks with everything going on around us, where it seems like the only way you're going to have clarity in a world full of deception and manipulation is if you're tethered and anchored to that unchanging truth.
Yeah, well, that's absolutely true. And that's one of the things that I think is so valuable about your podcast, and I hope that it reaches a lot of people, is that really the Bible describes it, and Paul wrote to Timothy, that people are going to listen and they're going to receive doctrines of demons, like things that just are completely against God's word. And interestingly enough, they can fall under the umbrella of Christian podcasts or Christianity or religion. Yeah. And the things that are being communicated are absolutely against God. Mm-hmm. And so what you are seeing is, I want to hear somebody tell me what I want to hear. And that may mean not including anything that God's word has to say. And, you know, you have people getting up behind pulpits that are not teaching the word of God. They're quite frankly leading people to hell. Like they're contradicting God's word, and they're actually reassuring somebody in their disobedience to God that, hey, it's okay. And so like what we're seeing now is that people are going into church and their guard is down, and then somebody's telling them something that doesn't align with scripture. And we're seeing it more and more. And actually, some of the most popular people are the ones that are doing that, interestingly enough.
Yes, it is true, which you know, doesn't necessarily mean that if you have popularity, it's bad. But what's the fruit? I mean, what's coming out of the real core of a ministry? Those are questions I think we have to ask today, which kind of leads me to another thought about Calvary Chapel. I remember Chuck And I can't remember exactly what chapter it was in, but in the book Calvary Distinctives, he talks about the building of the church and how, you know, if you bring people in by carnal means, by entertainment, you know, solely, then you're going to have to keep them by that. And pretty soon you'll just have sort of a carnal audience that's never really growing in the meat of God's word. And yet at the same time, when the Holy Spirit's moving, there is an experience that happens. People feel it. People sense it. People are drawn to it. Where do you see the balance, especially in today's world where so much technology is being used and there's a fine balance between entertainment and worship and using gimmicks versus wisely stewarding our resources, where I at least, you know, and I don't know where you stand on this. I think I do, but I sometimes feel like there's a lot of attempt out there in the mainline church today to sort of mimic or create a Holy Spirit environment. But is it truly, do we see the fruit of actually the Holy Spirit moving? And why is our dependency on the power of the Holy Spirit, the gifts of the Holy Spirit, the person of the Holy Spirit, such an important thing for us as part of the Calvary Chapel movement?
Yeah, no, that's a great question. And just to kind of back up a little bit, I mean, because you place an emphasis on the teaching of the Word of God doesn't mean that your personality has to be monotone or that you're without passion. You know, because when I was talking about, you know, feelings and all that, I think be passionate. And I think be the person that God's created you to be and how you communicate and articulate the truth. But the foundation has to be the Word of God, and it has to be a movement of the Holy Spirit, and that's what we want. But now to get back to your question, when I was on staff at Calvary Costa Mesa, there was one night I was doing the study called Monday Nights Live, and it was the night for people that don't go to church to come to church. So bring your unsafe friends.
Yeah.
And right at the end of my message, at the most pivotal point of finishing up what I had to say, the entire block lost power. All the lights shut down. I had no amplification. We had really cool, you know, aesthetics, you know, as far as like screens and all of that, which I think are fine. I think if you have a nice facility, that's great. You know, you have nice lighting and whatever you want to do, and the Lord provides for that, fantastic. But if you're relying upon that, then you're going to be in a bad, bad spot if all the power goes out. And so what ended up happening that night was I ended up, I mean, good thing I have a somewhat of a booming voice where I was able to, without a microphone, and the guy in the guitar sang a cappella with his acoustic and was able to give an invitation for people to receive Jesus. And the Lord just moved in a powerful way and people responded. You know, one girl even said, you know, I was praying, Lord, if you're really real, speak to me. And went boom, all the lights went off. And the Lord just really spoke to me that, you know, the lights went off, but the power stayed on.
Wow.
And the power was the Holy Spirit at work. It was working through his living word. Mm-hmm. It was at work in the people that were there. And so, you know, you can try to manufacture. You can even have all of the veneer.
Yeah.
You know, I guess we could call it that, of something that appears to be a very cool venue. But if it's not the work of the Holy Spirit, then your labor's in vain.
Yeah. Amen.
And it's as simple as that.
Yeah.
So I say, you know, if you have a great venue and cool stuff, sweet.
Yeah.
But just make sure that you're not exchanging cool stuff with the power of the Holy Spirit, because that's, Amen. You're getting ripped off.
Amen. And that's, I think that's one thing I've always really felt safe in Calvary Chapel, because of the fact that I think it's safe to say that there's a growing number of movements that that are using the Holy Spirit's name for a number of experiences that may or may not be coming from the Holy Spirit. And it tends to be more towards the experiential. And sometimes you get the sense that, okay, there's the name of the Holy Spirit, but the things I'm seeing feel like they're outside or out of line with God's character and nature. And one of the things that I've always appreciated and valued being in a Calvary Chapel is I believe I've always seen the power of the Holy Spirit be free to work in the context of the safety of the word that he himself inspired. You know, I've heard it put so well that I think like the church is like a house The word of God is the fireplace, and the Holy Spirit is a fire. And if you have a house with a fire, not in the fireplace, it burns down. And if you have a house with a fireplace without a fire, it's cold. And you know, it's not a fun place, a warm, safe place to be. But when the Holy Spirit's power burns bright in the fireplace of Scripture, the house is warm and safe. And that's one thing I think Calvary Chapel gets right. And I do want to say, as a note to those listening or watching, Calvary Chapel is just an expression of the part of the body of Christ. I think, you know, one of the things I love is we are always excited to partner with and unite with various expressions of the body of Christ. But, you know, the church is a multi-lane highway. And for us, you know, Calvary Chapel is one of the lanes that God's put us in. And we're excited about where it's going and where it's headed. Garrett, tell me a little bit about some of the encouragement you've seen. I know recently you have initiated starting a group of a fellowship between guys pastoring in various parts of even the world. That's been an encouragement to me. What are you seeing within the Calvary movement with some of these guys and where we're headed?
Yeah, that's been a really unforeseen, exciting part of, you know, the last few months or so, just getting guys together that are like-minded, that have a heart for the Lord, that love their wives, love their kids, and really want to see their church thrive. It can often be very lonely. You know, I think there's a lot of spiritual attack against anybody that takes the mantle of a teaching pastor, you know, especially when the scriptures say, let not all men be teachers, for they shall receive a stricter judgment. When you're rightly dividing the word of truth, and when that's your desire, you know, to equip the saints to do the work of the ministry, it seems that there's a lot of opposing forces, let's just say. We know it's the devil, but that would love to have you stop doing what you're doing. Yeah. So I think what has been eye-opening, and I think even encouraging through all of it, Josh, especially, you know, having you in there as well, is that the scriptures again are true, you know, to the word, where, you know, Peter says that the things that you're experiencing are actually things that are not just unique to you. You're mm-hmm. actually one of many brothers around the world that are experiencing the same kind of spiritual attacks. But then at the same time, in spite of all the difficulty and all the opposition, you have this group of guys, and it's even larger than we're aware of now. And I'm hoping to connect with more of these guys in the future.
Yeah, for sure.
But you have these guys that are resilient, and that regardless of how difficult it gets, like, they're committed to planting their churches, to leading their churches, pastoring and teaching. And I find that personally very exhilarating. I'm like, who are these guys? They're doing an awesome job, you know? And so that's been a real encouragement to me to see that and to be a part of those conversations.
Yeah. And one of the things I think that Calvary Chapel is established on, for those who might not know, they hear Calvary Chapel and they think, is that like some sort of denomination? Is that, you know, is there, what's the structure like? And those types of things. And I've always found, and I've pastored a Calvary Chapel in Georgia, Northern California. I've been part of Calvary Chapels in Southern California, and now here in the Midwest, is that Calvary Chapel really is a fellowship of like-minded brothers and Christians and churches that are each autonomous. They each have the freedom to be who they are and who God's called them to be, with a certain level of hey, we know that we're going to be able to share our hearts with each other, to lift one another up in prayer, to support one another when we're weak, to know that we're coming from the same place, to get counsel and advice for one another, you know, and really a sharing of fellowship, which really models that New Testament Book of Acts type of idea. And recently, you know, there some from the outside looking in might say, you know, Calvary Chapel seems to have gone through some interesting changes and interesting things in the course of its navigation since Pastor Chuck passed away. And I know that his heart was, it's going to continue to remain a move and work of the Spirit, and he's going to direct it as he sees fit. But what we're seeing now, at least what I'm seeing, is I'm starting to connect with some guys here in the Midwest who they're just excited to see what God's doing in their community, just sharing the word. And we're seeing multiple generations now, even within Calvary Chapel, of doing the ministry. I'd love to hear just what's your take on where we're headed in the future.
Yeah, well, you know, that's a great question, because I think a lot of people have wondered about, you know, what exactly is happening. To go back to what you said about how you described a church as a home. And I think that's one of the things that's unique about the Calvary Chapel movement. Though we work within a framework of teaching the Bible verse by verse, chapter by chapter, book by book, and the emphasis is upon the teaching of the Word of God and being led by the Holy Spirit. In so doing, as you're led by the Holy Spirit, there's a lot of unique, creative ways of communicating the unchanging truth of God. And so I've been very fortunate to not only have pastored under Chuck Smith, but also to count a lot of the guys that are on the Calvary Chapel Association Council as my friends, guys that I would consider mentors, big brothers in the Lord, guys that have encouraged me and have given me wisdom when I was dealing with things that were so far outside of my scope of ministry experience. And so I'm excited because these guys have set such a great example of what it means to run your race to win.
That's right.
And I feel like that is something that you can never undo. Like these guys that have been serving faithfully 30, 40, some, I think even 50 years. I mean, it's a little bit older than we are.
Yeah.
And they have run their race and they're still running.
Yeah.
And so for us, as we're coming up, I often think, you know, how can I take what these guys have done, what they've learned, their experiences that they've had, things that worked and didn't work, and stand on their shoulders. I mean, often I think there's problems where there's a disconnect where the guys that might be younger are coming up and they're wanting to, you know, get rid of everything that we were and everything that we've been and try to reinvent the wheel. I've always been under, you know, the impression that I'd rather stand on these guys' shoulders.
Yeah.
They've laid a very, very solid foundation. And so for me, I'm excited that with all the turmoil in the world, with all the weird stuff that's being communicated in quote unquote churches, that there is this resurgence of younger pastors that want to carry the baton.
Yeah.
Like they see what this movement has stood for and they want to continue moving forward with the spirit-led teaching of the Bible. And so for me, I'm excited because I feel like you can feel alone sometimes. You can feel like, I wonder how many other guys are out there doing the same thing I'm doing. But I feel like it's almost like we're hiding in the cave saying, Lord, I'm the last one. And really the Lord has a great number of people that he has anointed with his spirit and that he has great callings on their life. And we're very fortunate. I mean, I feel very fortunate to just be a part of that.
Yeah. Yeah, me too. And I think it was Don McClure, who's on the council, Pastor Don McClure, you know, he frequently encourages us younger guys, you know, you guys just go for it. Just follow the Lord. It's your turn to shepherd and to pastor and to carry on that great commission of Christ. And it's so encouraging to have those relationships where there's an encouragement to follow the Lord and to lead by faith and to walk by faith as a pastor. And honestly, I think I'm kind of excited because I think some of the same things that drew people to Calvary Chapel at the beginning, though God is maybe doing it in a different form and in a different cultural context, are going to be the same things that draw people back, because I think there's a lot of allurement, especially for guys our age and guys younger than us who are coming up in the pastorate, a lot of allurement to look a certain way or to see something on YouTube, Facebook, Instagram, TikTok, of some church that looks effective, looks fruitful, and just want to mimic and imitate these things. But I think people are would you agree? I think people are getting kind of tired. I mean, I think there's so much rest that comes when you just go back to, you know, I'm just going to do the things I know. I'm going to be faithful to these philosophies of ministry. And I honestly think we're going to hit a time here where where people are just going to be starting to get tired of the fluff and get tired of the show and just really want something solid again. And I hope and pray and believe that Calvary Chapel is going to be there for them when they come.
I agree. I agree. It's very similar to the 60s and 70s, you know, where there's no peace, there's turmoil everywhere. People are fearful. There's emptiness, and you're trying everything that the world has to offer, and you're realizing it just doesn't quite fit. Yeah. So I think we're really ready for a new movement of the Holy Spirit, and I'm praying for it.
Yeah. Well, man, I really appreciate you. I love you, and thank you for being on today. Any final words for those out there might be watching, maybe a pastor's watching that is kind of saying, I kind of feel lost and alone in what I believe. Is Calvary Chapel a right fit for me? Or maybe there's someone out there that there's a Calvary Chapel in their community and they're not kind of sure exactly what that's about. Any final words or final thoughts?
Well, if they're within the area, I would encourage them strongly to get in touch with you, and maybe you can point them in the right direction. Yeah. I know that you'll have all your contact info, but for a pastor, I would say, you know, if you begin in the flesh, you're going to constantly be striving. And if it's a work of the flesh, you're going to have to constantly up the ante with everything that you do, bigger, you know, better this and brighter that and more shocking or whatever it might be. But if you walk in the Spirit, you'll find that the Holy Spirit works. He provides. He moves in a way that just cannot be fabricated in any other way. And you'll find that there's also peace and rest there. And that's a good thing, because you know that it's a work of the Holy Spirit, not by might nor by power, but by my Spirit. And then for somebody that may be looking for a church, and maybe they've been, you know, in a place where they've had a bad experience, or they think church is boring, I mean, honestly, they need to come visit you, or they need to come to a Bible teaching church that is in their area. And I know they'll be blessed, because it's time to own your own relationship, not just go through the motions. So that's my two cents.
Yeah. Well, I love it, man. The beard's looking awesome, by the way. I know we've switched pulpits a couple times, and from a distance, people just seen the beard. So I hope you don't shave anytime soon.
Yeah. Likewise. I don't mind being your stunt double. So we're good.
Well, thanks again, Garrett. And I hope that you'll join me again, and we'll continue some more great conversations.
Anytime. Thanks, Josh.
Hey, everybody, thanks for tuning in today. And again, if you want to subscribe, we just want you to click the link that's provided here in this program. And until next time, God bless you and keep walking with Jesus. Bye now.